courage. Some think it's that first dive into the deep end, stepping up to the plate with a game on the line, asking someone out, jumping out of an airplane, or running into a burning building. But there are subtler, quieter, and more powerful forms of courage. Courage is refusing to cheat even when you can get away with it. Going against the crowd even if it gets you laughed at. Standing up for the kid who everyone else is ripping. Doing what is right instead of what is cool. Spending your life on others instead of living for yourself. Fighting injustice no matter the cost. Risking your life to spread the gospel. Courage is doing the right thing even when it's the hard thing. Even if the entire planet is against you, courage stands strong, even if it stands alone.
Would you describe yourself as courageous? Or would you describe yourself as a wimp? It kind of stands in contrast to one another. Like, I'm not a wimp. Is there a gray area? Courage. A few weeks ago, I left our back door open. We have a door that goes down to our basement, a Bilco door, you know, and so I had forgotten to close that, and I have another door that opens right at the bottom of the steps that I forgot to close that. I actually had that propped open because I was getting some things out of the basement. And I left both doors open all night. Good or bad thing? None of my kids were sleeping in the basement, so that was slightly better. So I recognized it in the morning when I got up and had my coffee. I looked out and I saw the doors were open. I thought, oh, that's not good. And I remembered how I forgot. So I did what any courageous man would do. I go down the steps and take a look, and then I realize at the bottom of the steps, with all the courage that I could muster, that if both doors are open, there could be someone or something in the basement. I wasn't worried about the someone, because if it was a someone, we'd be dead already. Fair enough? So I'm like, there's nobody down here unless they're taking a nap down here, which would be really an odd thing to do. So maybe there's a something down here. So what does any courageous individual do at that point? Send the dog down. So I come, and my dog, Sydney, showed you a picture of Sydney a few weeks ago. Sydney is actually at the top of the steps because Sydney and I, we get up in the morning and get my coffee, and he hangs out until he's tired of being around me, then he goes back to sleep. Well, I'm at the bottom of the steps, and Sydney's at the top of the steps, and it's like 5 or 6 in the morning. I said, Sydney, come on down here. He does not move. He just looks at me. Sydney, come. He turns around and goes the other way and hides. I'm like, man, what is the deal with this? Now I'm stuck in the basement. Who knows what critter? I mean, listen, God has uniquely designed dogs to sniff out the things that I can't smell, you know? And I would know, Sydney would go crazy if there was a critter downstairs, a groundhog or a possum or a skunk, and probably not a skunk. But he would go nuts and chase the thing. That would be my expectation. But here's what Sydney did. He ran and hid. He lacked the courage to do what God had uniquely designed him to be able to do. You've never been there, though, have you? You've never struggled to have enough courage to go through and do what you're supposed to do, right? It's really quiet all of a sudden. Can you remember a time where you had to be courageous? Think about it. Can you remember a time where you had to be courageous? Maybe it was this last week. Maybe it was last month. Maybe it was a year ago. That you remember that this was a time where you had to be courageous. The decision that needed to be made took a good deal of courage. And you knew that by going a certain direction, it would impact your future. And so it took a lot of courage to do this. Do you know that courage comes in various sizes? It takes courage to take care of your health. I was offered this morning something that's really bad for your health. Chocolate-covered bacon. You know, I had the courage to say no for now, but maybe later I'll try a piece. We'll see. Anyway, it takes courage to take care of your health, doesn't it? To say no to the thing that you want to say no to the second helping or third helping or whatever it is, to say no to that second or third cup. It takes courage to even take care of your health. It takes courage to say no to the wrong thing. It takes courage to say no to the wrong person. It takes courage to fight for the right things. It takes courage to fight for the right person to be around. In Romans chapter 5, this is where we left off last week, and I want to read through this passage and then jump to another one. But in Romans chapter 5, verse 18, Paul describes two people that have opposite legacies. And last week I challenged you to have the legacy of grace. And here's the two different people, and just to bring you back up to speed. In verse 18, he says, "Therefore, as one trespass entered, or as one trespass, I'm sorry, led to condemnation for all men." And who was the person that had that one trespass? Adam, okay? So he was the first one, and he sinned. That led to condemnation for all men. He says, so one act of righteousness then leads to justification and life for all men. So you have opposites. One that sins and one that does not. He does an act of righteousness. And then in verse 19, he describes again. It says, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. He then describes the law, which comes afterwards. He says, now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So the law comes in to identify sinfulness, where prior to that you had a conscience to go by and such. But then he makes it very clear and says, here's the law, here's how to follow me. And then by doing that, essentially sin increase that much more because you knew that you were wrong. It wasn't just, I think I might be. But then he says, as the law brought more sin, essentially, because you were aware of it, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Paul's describing two people that have opposite legacies, two people that are opposite. And at the core of a legacy, at the core of what defines you for the future, defines you as a person, it takes courage to go a certain direction, or you lack courage in going a certain direction. See, one lacked courage when he needed it, and the other had an extraordinary amount of courage. The one that lacked courage was Adam. The one that had extraordinary courage was Jesus. Adam lacked courage to do what needed to be done. You've never been there, right? Genesis chapter 3. We'll go back to the very original where this is recorded for us to be able to see. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, it says, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it lest you die. But the serpent comes cunning, comes in a very deceitful way. The serpent comes to him, to her, and says to the woman, you shall not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So here's the deception. There next to this tree is Eve and the serpent having this conversation. The deception goes out and says, come on, don't believe in God. You're not going to surely die. Here's what is going to happen. You will feel more alive than ever by doing this one thing. You'll feel better even. Your eyes will be opened. Have you ever had a sin that's deceitful like that? Or it's kind of thrown at you. Man, you don't know what you're missing. It's all the way back in the garden here. And so Satan is tempting Eve here. And verse 6 So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to her eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. You see the temptation there. It was good. It's going to make me feel better. It's good food. It's delight to my eyes. Man, I got to have that. I mean, I just can't get that out of my mind now. I'm looking at it. I'm staring at it. It looks so good. It's going to make me wise. My mind will expand by doing this. My body will feel better. My eyes are telling me I need to have this. And so the temptation goes out. She grabs on and it says, she took of its fruit and ate. She took of its fruit and ate. So Eve was deceived. But then here's the next step, and I want to focus in on Adam because it's really interesting what's going on here. The next step is that she turned then, and she also gave some to her husband, Adam. Notice what it says, who was with her. Adam's right there with her. He was handed an opportunity to be with his wife now. He was handed up. It's kind of like going window shopping. Do you enjoy window shopping? How do you like to go window shopping? How do you like to go shopping? Let's start with that. Oh, wow, that's a lot of people. How many like to go window shopping? How many do not like to go window shopping? Oh, yeah. Okay, there's more people that don't. Because it's like, well, I can't buy it anyway. What's the point? You know? Or for some, let's kind of dig a little differently here. Some like to go on Craigslist to find good deals. I enjoy Craigslist, but here's the problem with Craigslist. There's too many opportunities on there of, oh, man, I could do this, I could do that. And there's all these temptations. It's window shopping in a way that may not be the best thing. Here, Adam is right there. It's his opportunity that's handed to him. He wasn't planning to go window shopping. He wasn't planning to be shopping there. But here's the serpent tempting Eve. He's right there. He's never developed the will to stand up to a temptation like this. He's never faced anything like this. It's just a random, here it is, it's in your face. And, wow, I've never really thought about this that much before. That's recorded anyhow. And so here he's faced with this opportunity, this temptation that's just huge and gargantuan in size to who he is. The opportunity is, who will you be with? Will you be with your wife? Or will you be with God? Will you continue to be a follower of God, or will you be with your wife? Now, who's there? God or Eve? Eve. I mean, we understand theologically that God is everywhere present at the same time. But you and I both know that's hard to grab onto and hold onto. We know that in a crisis kind of a time, we're like, God's with me and God's right here, and we'll pray and we know that God's there answering. But the reality is when sin is at the door, it's as if God is not everywhere present. It's as if we can close a door over here and enter into sinfulness over here. You see that? So the opportunity was to be with his wife or to follow God. Notice the interesting part of who Adam is. What does he do when Eve is tempted? Good leader, bad leader. Here's what he does. He was passive. He was passive. He sat there and watched her, but did nothing. He watched her make a grave decision. He observed as she went and broke the one rule that was not to be broken. Literally, he became the spectator instead of the teammate. It's as if he crawled up into the stands while sitting next to her, while he should have been there saying, listen, this is not right. He was a spectator, just kind of watching, and what's up, whatever, Eve. instead of being active, instead of being a teammate, instead of being right there. He was passive. And here's what the reality is. He was living for the moment instead of living for eternity. And so was Eve. They're both participating in this. They lived for the moment instead of living for eternity. In the moment, it was more important for him to fit in with Eve. I love what parents, do you ever do this, parents? You ever say to your child, hey, listen, if everybody else was jumping off the bridge, would you jump? How many of you said that before? Okay, how many of your parents have said that to you before? Right, you understand this? Listen, think about this. The entire world was eating of this fruit. Every human being was doing it but Adam. Do you get it? I mean, Eve was the only other person on the planet. Okay, you're trailing with me now? I'm getting some blank stares like, I don't see anybody else there because nobody else was. It was just Adam and Eve, right? So everybody else was doing it. Everybody else was participating in this one thing of being able to sin and enjoy this fruit, except for Adam. His decision changed his whole legacy. It changed the world. His decision was, I choose to disobey God because I love her more. I choose to disobey God because I love her more. Listen, ladies that are looking for a husband, now if you're already married, this doesn't count for you, but if you're looking eventually to be married, look for a man that is willing to follow God and not you. Now if you're older, that's a good amen statement. Would you agree? That's like, yes, I agree with that statement. Preach it on, okay? Look for a man that's willing to follow God, not you. That's a solid leader. Now, here's the interesting thing. So here's how this all works out. And you go down further, and God comes into the scene, and he's talking with Adam. And what does Adam say? Does he say, it's my fault? No, he goes, Lord, I'm telling you what. You know that woman you gave me? You know, it's your fault, God, and you know it's her fault. It's not me. I mean, I was just kind of hanging out here with her, and we were like, it was a nice sunshiny day. It was great, and the serpent comes up, and it wasn't, I was just hanging out. Passive and blame shifting. Two bad things as we deal with the reality of being a leader and courageous. A person who blame shifts, pushes it off onto someone else, is not courageous at all. Here's the opposite. Back in Romans 5, it talks about the other one, the one who was courageous. Jesus had an extraordinary amount of courage. He had a legacy of grace in that he gave his gift, his life as a gift for ours. So here's what Jesus does. He rejects passivity and accepts responsibility. He rejects passivity while he looks at all of us and understands, hey, there's a problem here. They've sinned and they're going to go to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. He recognizes the issue and he rejects passivity and accepts responsibility. He sees the problem and then he is willing to do what he is responsible to be able to do in sacrificing his life for the world. He endured rejection, he endured loneliness, he endured pain, he endured hunger and suffering, and it goes on and on and on. He conquers death and rose from the dead. Now here's one statement that I want you to get. You ready? If you're writing, taking notes down, here's your statement. Courageous people reject passivity and accept responsibility. Courageous people reject passivity and accept responsibility. So let's do this a little different. I thought for Father's Day, we just kind of do some relaxed things today. I want to have some role-playing going on. So I need a couple volunteers for this morning for some role-playing. So I need a volunteer to be Satan. Volunteers? That was easy. Like, everybody raised their hand. Okay, so this is so tough because as soon as I pick someone to be Satan, it's like, does he really think I'm that bad of a person that he's going to make... I'm the Satan person? No, I don't want to be that. All right. Craig, come on. Awesome. Thank you. This is great. We'll pray for Craig. He's got issues. He thinks he's Satan. Okay, so... So now we need Eve, okay? Who's going to be Eve? Kathy, can't be you because I don't want to cause marriage issues, okay? This might be a problem. She'll punch him or something like that. Okay, Eve? Do we have an Eve anywhere? Okay, all right, come on up. Colleen's going to be Eve. I need an Adam. Connor, you want to be Adam? All right, come on. Let's go, Connor. We could have Brent, but that might cause problems too. And this is just a lot easier this way. It's less messy. Okay, you follow me? Okay, so let's do a little role play. I wrote some things out for you guys so that you know where I'm heading, but no one else does yet. You might have to read a little bit, okay? And I love how you guys love to be in front of people, and so this is great. Okay, so here's the deal. Let's think about this a little bit differently, okay? Let's scrap the rest of the story, and let's go back and say, what if we did this different? What if Adam handled life totally different at this moment in the garden? How would life go? Okay, so here's how it would be. If Adam was, here's what we're chasing, courageous. If Adam was courageous, how would this play out? So we're role-playing, okay? So this is all participation, okay? So Adam says to Eve, wait, we should start with the serpent. Go ahead. You can, I didn't even write the serpent thing out. I figured you could just ad lib and get this thing going. You got this in you, right? I mean, you can. Oh, it's awesome. Craig's a good sport. We appreciate Craig.
Don't you want this? It'll make you like God.
Okay, that's good. Now, that's kind of okay, but I think we can do better. That's not a criticism on him. He's on the spot. Yeah, I watch Wheel of Fortune sometimes, and sometimes the people that are contestants, they're on the spot, and they can't figure it out. I'm screaming at the screen like, come on, it's right there. Okay, so we're going to work this out a little bit, okay? So let's kind of keep on going, and then we're going to come back to Satan, okay? So here's the next part. Adam, what would you say if you're courageous? What are you going to say? Go ahead, read that. Speak up a little bit. Can we do this microphone thing?
You need to get away from the serpent. Let's go.
That was good. That was good. Now say it in a loving tone. We got this. Good job. Good job. All right. Okay, let's kind of pull back a little bit. Now I need all of your feedback. Help Craig out. I mean, the serpent out and Satan out. Okay, so what does it look like when the serpent is actually doing some tempting work? What does Satan say to you in your mind and heart? Think about it. What's that? Okay, what is that? I wrote a few things down to try to kind of get the prime the pump a little bit. So what's the first one? Go ahead.
Go look at that. It'll make you feel better.
Okay. You catch that? Go look at that. That'll make you feel better. Have you ever done that? Hey, let's just go window shopping a little bit. Hey, let's just go test drive that car that you can't quite afford, but man, I really want to. Hey, let's go on that website and look at that. It'll make you feel better. Let's go to the grocery store and just see if there's any ice cream on sale. Did I get a little too close to the toes there? Okay. All right. Okay. What? Give me something else. How else does Satan come and tempt you? What else does he say? Oh, yeah. You don't have this. Yeah. Yeah. Aren't you tired of the same old thing? I mean, you've been eating the fruit over there for so, like, try something new. God didn't mean that. Yeah, that's not a big deal. I mean, you know, there's crazy people, they think that, but not that's not what God thinks. Well, somebody else said something. Yeah, yeah. It'll make you happy if. Okay, good. Awesome. So we got this going. We understand this. Is there any that we missed? Craig, any we missed here? Yeah, say this. You can't hold this in. You have a right to tell people how you feel, even if it's unkind, unloving. So here's the reality. Adam is, in a courageous way, here's what Adam should be doing. Adam should be saying,
go ahead, say it again.
Honey,
you need to get away from the serpent.
Okay. What is Adam doing there? He's being courageous. He's doing what James 4:7 and 1 Peter 5:8 say. James 4:7 and 1 Peter 5:8. If you're taking notes, these are two great references to write down. When Satan comes and tempts you and says, hey, let's go do this. Let's go check this out. Let's go look at this. Here's the things that we need to go to. First of all, James chapter 4, verse 7. Resist the devil and he will what? Flee from you. Okay? And so it's then submitting to God in 1 Peter 5:8. It talks about Satan and says, Satan is what? He is a roaring what? Okay, we have a kitty cat that's in the backyard. I'm not afraid of the kitty cat, but if I had a roaring lion in the backyard, I would not stay in the backyard. You follow me? We look at Satan as a little kitty cat that we can play and pet and have as a pet that stays in the house, and we just need to, you know, just potty train the thing and we'll be all right. Satan is not a kitty cat to be played with. Satan is a roaring lion that's looking to destroy you, your children, your community, everything around you. That's what Satan does. That's what he'll continue to do. Okay? He's not one to play with. Satan, the roaring lion that's sitting there at the tree, pretending to be this you know, cute little serpent, is having this nice little conversation. Come on, Eve, it's not that big of a deal. You don't want to do what God's trying to hold back. I mean, just come on, just take this step. It's no big deal. Very deceptive. But he's a roaring lion. Men, can I just say to you, as I preach this to myself, don't be passive. Don't be passive. Embrace, accept the responsibility that God has put into your life and push. And sometimes knowing how to work that responsibility out is tricky. Do you say something or do you let them go through the pain? That's so tricky. Where was God, by the way? God was constantly there, but he gave him a will to choose. And sometimes as a parent, as a father, it's hard to know that one right there. Do you allow them to go through the pain of this situation that they keep going to? Or do you keep pulling them back, knowing that eventually they'll probably do it anyway? It's so hard. That's painful. It's hard to work through that. Regardless of that, we need to be making sure that we're responsible and not passive, just saying, who cares, and get busy doing other things. I think the biggest temptation I face is getting busy doing the things that really are not going to be productive in my children's life, in my family's life, and in the church's life as well. We need to make sure that we're active and not passive, okay? So let's kind of keep this role-playing going, okay? You ready? So now the next step goes, and Eve goes, and she takes a bite.
I feel so different, but alone, you need to try it.
Okay, could you see the conversation that's going? You would kind of think that this is probably how it's going to go. Now Eve now is like, wow, that was interesting, but where's Eve now? She's the only one on the planet that has bitten of this fruit. She's the only one out there, so what does she need to do? No one likes to sin alone, correct? People like to sin together. We like company. Isn't everybody's doing it, right? Well, in the world, everyone but one was doing it. So therefore, it's a majority, sort of. Okay? So now she's looking over at Adam and saying, hey, Adam, come on, buddy. It's not so bad. I'm not dead, right? My eyes are open. You need to try this. I'm a little bit alone. So you would be helping me out in my loneliness if you come over and do this with me. Okay? Adam, here's a great courageous response.
Go ahead, you know you want to.
So what does Adam say?
Eve, I'm sorry you feel alone right now. I want to be where you are, but I want to follow God.
Okay, now stop. Do you see how we can see this a little differently? A courageous response is looking at it through truth. A courageous response is accepting the responsibility within that. And Adam, this is my sanctified imagination that I'm putting into play. Why? Because we face this all the time. So after Eve has already taken a bite of it, after Eve is already going into the sinfulness, Adam has a choice to say, yeah, I'll just join in with Eve and go that direction. Or he can pull out and be courageous and say, Eve, man, I'm really sorry that you feel alone right now. There's a reason you feel alone. I get your loneliness. I get your struggle right now. And I want to. Man, there's something in me that says, I got to try this thing. I want to be there. It's almost like he can validate where she's at and say, I get where you are. And I want to as well. But more importantly than following you, more importantly than being with you, more importantly than biting off of this fruit, more importantly than our togetherness is for me to follow God. Man, girls. Don't miss this. If you're looking for a guy, there's an all-star guy out there that he's the one that needs to be saying this. More importantly than being with you is following God. Husbands, we never outgrow this, do we? More important than going with you and doing this is following God. More importantly than window shopping, more importantly than doing this thing over here is following God. And so I need to make sure that I'm centered and following God. And we do this with our children as well. More importantly than following you and being accepted in your eyes and being popular with you and for you to like me and be around me, more important than all of that is me following God. So I must do the right thing here. Okay? So you go down a little bit further, and here's the kind of the last part. What could Adam do different then? After addressing all of these things, here's how Adam could respond different. He could say to Eve,
let's go talk to God together and see what's next.
Do you see that? Adam could actually say at that point, now I'm going back in history, but I'm really looking at us forward and saying, okay, what could be different? After she bites of the fruit, after she's over there, and the two are now separate, he has the opportunity to say, instead of I kick you out of my life, he says to her, look, Eve, I get where you're at. Let's put the fruit down, and let's go to God together, and let's see what God has for us. It is going to God's throne of grace. Isn't that awesome? Okay, thank you. Give them a hand. They did it great, right? Now, I did that little role play so that we could actually see how this would work out a little differently. In order to be courageous, and we talk about courageous, and we talk about courage, and you know, we puff ourselves up with big muscles, and yeah, I'm courageous. And listen, here's what courageous is. It's when the student next to you is slipping that note across and saying, here's the cheat code or whatever. It's when someone is pushing you to do the wrong thing. It's when going to window shop when you know you can't afford it. It's all these other kinds of things. It's looking at things that you shouldn't be, and all these other things that are going on in your life that saying no to those things might be something that no one ever sees you say no to. That's courage. That's courage. That's where it begins. God calls us to boldly and courageously follow Him. And in order to do that, we must constantly be going to His throne of grace. Why? Because we run to the throne of grace, which is the means that we go there is through prayer, through talking with Him. We run to His throne of grace and say, God, I need Your strength because I know the devil is a roaring lion and he's been trying to pick me off every single day of my life. And so, God, I need Your strength to get through another day, another minute, another hour, another whatever it is. It's God, I need You. It's His throne of grace. That's prior to. And then during, it's God, I still need You. I need You more because the temptation is huge, but I need Your grace to fill me and to strengthen me for this temptation. And at the end, if you fail, if you choose to fail, it's God, be gracious, pour out Your grace on me because I've just failed. Cleanse me and forgive me. I want to be right with You. The throne of grace is all the way through. And if there's victory, it's not, look at me, I'm so courageous. It's God is so gracious. I'm not that courageous. I'm a wuss. I'm a wimp. I don't have it going on. Here's what I really understand is that God's strength is stronger than everything in me. That's who I need. courageous people. They reject passivity and accept responsibility. So my question this morning is, where do you need to be courageous right now? Where do you need to be courageous right now? Maybe you've been passive. Maybe you could identify more with Adam than you'd care to admit. Or you've just been passively looking at things and kind of just going through life with just this passive attitude and, well, we'll just see how things work out and maybe it'll work out all right. There's a lot of passivity that happens when our eyes are open, looking to be filled through our eyes and saying, well, maybe that will make me feel better. Maybe that will make me look better. It's the lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life that he talks about in 1 John. Sometimes I think passivity keeps us in a relationship that we shouldn't be in. Passivity keeps us in a relationship we can't be in, we shouldn't be in. I'm not talking about marriage. Like, if you're already married, you need grace to keep on going, yes? That's 1 Corinthians 7:28. If you're married, you will have trouble. It will be challenging. Sometimes that going up to it, there's that the relationship that sometimes you know ahead of time, you should be breaking that relationship off. Sometimes I think this is the American way. It's buying more than you can afford to pay for. Man, I've been there. Where I said, well, if I get this, I'll pay it off over time. It'll just all, here's what I've said, in a passive way, it'll just all work out. Know what I found that worked out? I was in debt and struggling because I allowed my eyes to window shop into things I shouldn't be looking at and went into an area of saying, well, I'll just get that and it'll probably work out. Instead of saying, God, I need you. I need to not do this and I need to figure a way that's going to be totally different. So God, please help me through this. Totally different. Window shopping. Or the other thing, we don't talk about this too often, taking care of your body. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and we don't talk about that much. I mean, leave that for somewhere else. You know, we don't need to talk about health. God wants us to take care of our body. His desire for us is to take care of our body in a way that honors him. It takes courage to say no to what you shouldn't be eating, drinking, smoking, whatever. It takes courage to say no to those things and to break free from sin. It takes courage. Don't minimize that. You can't do it on your own. One of the things I found is God's word is absolutely accurate and true in every part. And when I've gotten into areas that I'm struggling to break free from, because I don't have enough will in me to do what's right, I don't have enough strength in me to do what's right, and I pray and I memorize scripture and I've done those things, there's one other element that God has brought into my life that is absolutely right. First, in James chapter 5, it talks about confessing your faults to one another so that you'd be healed. The accountability of coming together and saying, I know this is wrong and I need to not do this anymore because I'm dishonoring God. I'm not allowing his grace to be full in my life and I'm just kind of playing around with a passive game of everybody else is this way, so I must be this way too. And when I get into the accountability of I've sinned, I cannot continue to sin, God brings healing and God brings strength. Strength in my will then to figure out what's going on over here. In the next few weeks, in July really, we'll be talking about this in Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8 then. This is kind of the prelude to that. But it takes that. Do you know, in order for you to say, if I were to come up to Matt and say, Matt, I've got this real problem. I know that I'm dishonoring God with, I'll say a real example to me of what God's been dealing with me over the past several years. I'm seeing victory now in my life for a season. God's convicting me of the way I'm handling my finances. In that what I've done is I've said it'll just work out and I'll just get it and hope that I'll have enough money to pay the credit card off. You've never done that, right? You know? And so that's where I was. And so it took literal accountability of, hey, Matt, I'm struggling with, and I cannot continue this because it's dishonoring God. I'm not using finances a way that would honor God. It's not bringing his grace into my life in the way that would please him. His power is not revealed through me. His provision's not there. I'm depending on Visa or MasterCard for my provision. And I knew that I couldn't handle that on my own, so it would be coming to him and saying, hey, I need some help with, keep me accountable. At the end of the month, ask me, did I go into any debt here? And I'm going to tell you when I'm struggling ahead of time. And I have, right? Where I've literally called and said, hey, listen, I've got the want bug going on so bad for. And by doing that, confessing my fault, my tendency, here's what God has done. He has raised up my will by my brother coming alongside of me and giving me the grace then as I walk through that struggle to be able to walk on the other side of it and to see God be victorious. It took courage, actually, for me to go to my brother and say, I need help. That's a huge measure of courage. Would you agree? Who likes to admit that they're wrong? Anybody? I just love it. When I'm messed up, yep, I'm the messed up one in the room. Nobody likes that. I mean, it took me forever to get somebody to volunteer to be Satan. And that's just role-playing, right? I mean, but we got a willing volunteer. He even smiled about it. Oh, yeah, no problem. I can handle this, right? And we're just being sarcastic. But here's the reality. Nobody likes to be wrong. Nobody wants to admit that they're wrong. We don't want to go there. The only way to see God's grace truly in action is to say, God, I'm wrong. And a God, I don't want to continue to do this anymore. I need the courage to stand up and to do what's right instead of being passive and continuing the direction that I have been going. So God, please give me help. And he's given us the tools and the body around us to be able to do just that. So my question to you, church, is, are you willing to be courageous this week? Take a step for the Lord. Maybe the thing that you're struggling with is where you need to say, okay, I need to take this step right now. And I need to be courageous and say, God, I surrender this to you, and I need to take this step, but I can't do it alone, so I need some accountability. I need to be working this through. God, please help me. And here's what you're going to find. As you take this first step of saying, yes, I need to change, I need the courage too, as you take that first step, guess what's going to happen? It's going to get harder. Not easier. It'll get harder. And what I found is, in failure, I get to see what God's doing in me over here even. God continues to pour out his grace to grow me and to keep teaching me and to build strong confidence with people around me to depend on the Lord to get the grace to work through these things. And so as we get through chapter 6, 7, and 8 then, you're going to see God working this plan and weaving this out in these next chapters. It's awesome. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for all that you have done. You brought us to this point on this Father's Day just as just a testimony of pure grace that you've done in our lives. And God, I thank you. Thank you that you are so merciful. Thank you that you are so gracious and loving and faithful. Lord, I pray that you'd give us the courage to stand up to ourselves, to stand up to Satan, and to follow you. Lord, I pray that you'd be with those that are even processing right now and saying, I don't know if I'm ready to give this up. Lord, give them the clarity to be able to make the right decision. And Lord, as some struggle with even the discouragement aspect of saying, it'll never change, I'll always be this way, God, I pray that you give them a fresh dose of courage. Come straight from the Holy Spirit to stand up to the devil by your strength and your grace. And we'll give you the praise for what you have and what you will accomplish. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.